You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Tuesday, January 24th, talking Cubs baseball today with Kerry Muscat, our Cubs reporter. And Kerry, thank you for the time. And Kerry, we're hearing that reportedly the Cubs have agreed to terms with veteran starter Brett Anderson. Anderson made only, I believe, less than a half dozen appearances in 2016 in an injury-riddled campaign for him. But assuming that this deal does become official and it does go through, what do you feel that the Cubs perhaps see in a guy that's been injured so often, at least recently here in 2016? And assuming he does make the team and is healthy, what do you think his role could be on the team?
Well, first, let's go over his injuries. He underwent back surgery in March last year, so that required him to miss the majority of the 2016 season. He only appeared in four games and made three starts for the Dodgers. Anybody who's had back problems can probably relate that that's not something you bounce back from very quick. And then he had blisters after appearing in the four games, and that pretty much shut him down for the rest of the way, which wasn't very good. He's had other injury issues as well, also undergone Tommy John surgery in 2011. He's had a problem with an oblique, a little problem with his foot, broken finger. So if they can get him healthy, which you'd like to think, in 2015 he pitched in 180 innings for the Dodgers. So I'm sure the Dodgers had big hopes for the left-hander. If he's healthy, he could slot into the fifth spot in the Cubs rotation, which means that then perhaps they would put Mike Montgomery back in the bullpen. The Cubs have talked about how they need depth in their pitching. They've been on the market for a starter. There was some talk that they were pursuing Tyson Ross. He ended up signing with the Rangers. So perhaps Anderson is their next guy on their ladder that they're looking at. Montgomery is a swing guy. He can go either way, although I'm sure that he was looking forward to starting. But he was so valuable to them in the pen last year that I keep thinking that they're trying to find someone else who could start and then give them another lefty in the pen. Apparently, if the reports are true, Anderson would sign for $3.5 million, and then there are a lot of incentives in the deal that could boost up to $10 million. So you know that he would be motivated. So let's just see how this plays out. He started his career with the A's, also pitched with the Rockies, but again, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I know pitching coach Chris Bosio is a magician, but I'm just not sure he can wave his magic wand and make guys stay healthy all the time.
It's tough. And like you said, back injuries and back surgery is not something that you easily bounce back from, no matter who you are. But again, you look back to 2015 and you look at what he did, 180 innings. So there is potential there that, like you said, if he's healthy, the Cubs could really reap the benefits. And Kerry, maybe I'm looking too much at this as a domino effect, but considering the fact that the Cubs, Travis Wood is still out there, the two sides still haven't come to an agreement, he still is not back in the fold. Do you think Theo looked at that and said, assuming that we don't get him back, we need another lefty in the pen, that's where Montgomery goes, even though, like you said, he was very much looking forward to starting and we got to go out and get a guy like Anderson? Or does Wood really not factor into this too much?
Yeah, I don't think Wood factors into this. I think Travis Wood is still out on the market as we speak, but I think that he's looking for some kind of contract with a little more security, and I don't think the Cubs were willing to go there, if you get my gist here. I just don't think they can come to terms yet. Now, who knows? It might be that Travis doesn't get an offer to his liking. The Cubs dangle a one-year deal, and he decides he is able to come back and be in the mix. But the other side, the Cubs roster, their 40-man is at 39. If they do add Anderson, that puts them at 40. I don't know if Travis would be willing to take a minor league deal, and see how it translates with the team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. And, like we've discussed in previous weeks, it would be an ideal fit to get Travis Wood. back into the fold, but he's seeking one thing, and the Cubs are offering, or not offering, but would potentially offer something else completely different, and that just would not be copacetic with Mr. Wood. So assuming that, you know, he's not going to be the guy to come back, that's why they go out. They get Anderson. Maybe Montgomery goes back in the bullpen. We'll see how that whole thing kind of configures once spring training heads around. And that's only a couple of weeks away, Kerry. So kind of gaze into your crystal ball. Do you see Theo making any other moves before spring training, even something, you know, on the lower end of things, something small scale? Or do you think that he rides into spring training with the group he's got right now?
Well, to be honest, we're still waiting for the Cubs to release the list of non-roster invitees, so I'm not sure exactly who's going to show up once the pitchers and catchers report on the 14th. You know, they need a veteran catcher to add to the mix. You know, they're not going to be adding any names that are going to shake up the lineup. Starting nine and the basics, you know, the starting 25 are almost set. It's just a matter of sorting out the bullpen and seeing how Joe Maddon wants to use the relievers.
And that'll be an interesting mix considering some of the guys that they have brought in. Kerry, I know that, you know, we've discussed this in the past, but, you know, the Cubs signing Koji Uehara, a guy I've been a big fan of for many years. How much do you think he has left in the tank? He kind of a down year in 2016, but he did battle some injuries when he came back for the Red Sox. He was as good as ever. Do you think he could be one of those sleeper signings that isn't getting a lot of play right now, but could really, really turn out to be valuable in the long run for the Cubs?
Well, you hope so. They're looking for more consistency and stability. Stability is probably a good word in terms of the late inning pitchers who will be the bridge to closer Wade Davis. I think, you know, there was a stretch where Pedro Strop and Justin Grimm got into a really good groove to set up Hector Rondon during the season. I think they're trying to get some consistency. Uehara could be the guy, if used on a limited basis, to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's now 42 years old, but he's got a rubber arm. He does not pitch to his age, certainly, so he could be a very valuable guy for the Cubs in that kind of new-look bullpen here in 2017 as they defend their title. And, Kerry, to begin to wrap up here, you and the other team reporters were asked who was the best free agent signing in your team's history, and I know that you chose one guy, but it was outside the parameters of what was being asked because I think they wanted you to – they wanted all the reporters to pick somebody who was signed to a multi-year deal. The guy you chose was not a multi-year deal, but in your book, it was still the best signing period in Cubs history. So who was that player?
Well, to me, the best signing that the free agent signing the Cubs ever had was Andre Dawson, mainly because of how unique it was. I mean, Dawson really wanted to get off of the artificial turf in Montreal, and he approached the Cubs and gave them a blank check. And this is in 1987. You can't imagine anybody doing that right now. But Dawson just said, you know, pay me what you think I'm worth. They paid him $500,000, if you can imagine that. And he ended up winning the Most Valuable Player Award that year, hitting 49 homers and 137 RBI. Now, he did play after that season. He did sign a multi-year deal. But the parameters of this exercise that we had to do was, you know, the best multi-year contract with the team. Personally, I just think Dawson's situation was so unique that there's no way anything else could go for that. But the best multi-year deal, according to my bosses, they like the Moises Alou three-year deal, which he signed in December of 2001. He helped the team get to the postseason in 2003, teamed up with Sammy Sosa. They provided a pretty effective 1-2 punch and played well. So you could make an argument there. I think it's a lot of fans have responded to the story saying that they think that the John Lester deal is better. To me, he's only had 2 years out of the 6 years contract. So I guess I thought it was too early to say whether or not, you know, Lester's deal was the best one. It could end up being that way considering how well he pitched last year. Another guy, you know, you look at Ben Zobrist, he ends up being the MVP of the World Series in the first year of his multi-year contract and really solidified the lineup last year. So could be Zobrist. So I think some of the other deals we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Lester delivers another few top three Cy Young finishes and a few more rings, then he would vault to the top of that list. But like you said, you look back, a completely different world in 1987 with a guy that said, hey, pay me what you think I'm worth. He goes out and wins the MVP, making $500,000. That's something we will never, ever see again. So, Kerry, I definitely like your choice there of the Hawk, Andre Dawson. And that's a good place to wrap this one up. Kerry Muscat, our thanks to you. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.